You're listening to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. We have some great conversations with missionary families this week. We're talking about missionary kids. Hope you can stick around for the conversation. We're going to talk with Tyler McMiller, who grew up as a missionary kid and now going out to serve as a missionary. And I hope you can join us for that conversation in the second half. We will catch up with the Fritchie family, who I believe last time we spoke with them, they were preparing to serve the Lord in the Dominican Republic. They are now settled in the Dominican Republic and learning about life and the culture there and the people that they are given to serve. And we'll hear from Pastor Fritchie as he's learning Spanish and preaching in Spanish there in the Dominican Republic and about family life for them and the Fritchie kids in the Dominican Republic. Hope you can join us for that here on Faith and Family. Want to say thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting this program. You can find out more about Concordia University, Wisconsin on our website, kfuo.org. Look for the Concordia University, Wisconsin logo in the sponsor section, the CUW logo there. Joining me in studio today, Tyler McMiller, and preparing to serve as a missionary. Well, here participating in new missionary orientation, but already knows life as a missionary. Tyler, welcome to Faith and Family.
Thank you very much.
Great to have you in studio. Looking forward to hearing about your life as well as a missionary, growing up in a missionary family. So what we might call a missionary kid. Tell us about where you grew up. What are some of your early childhood memories?
Well, my parents have spent 15 years overseas living in Latin America. And they lived in Peru and Chile. And I lived in Chile for several years, but I was too young to remember it. Mm-hmm. And I lived 4 years in Panama from second to fifth grade. Yeah, so mm-hmm. in a total of 4 years, yes.
Second to fifth grade, grew up in Panama, and then moved back to the U.S.?
Yep, moved back to the United States. Mm-hmm.
What do you remember about life in Panama? You said second through fifth grade. So those are some early years in school. Were you going to a school in the community or homeschooling?
We didn't do homeschool. We went to an English-speaking school. A Crossroads Christian Academy. It was, and everything was in English, and it was an interesting experience. The advice I always give parents is to have their kids study in Spanish. I think that was a big mistake that we made, and that's a mistake that the whole family recognizes, I think. It was an interesting dynamic, but fortunately I did leave the situation leaving Spanish, which was good, and it was rather rare mm-hmm. to have studied in English. And you really want to fully embrace the culture, I think, if you're a missionary family, and always have the mentality mm-hmm. that you're going to be there for a very, very long time with the option to leave. I think that's very important. You have the option to leave, but you're going to be there for a long time. And if the kids are studying in English, it really creates one foot in, mm-hmm. you know, in each country kind of thing.
Instead of going all in, learning the language,
and,
learning more about the culture.
Right, and you're always going to have English. Mm-hmm. I mean, I would have spoken English either way. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What do you remember about your father's ministry as a missionary? What do you remember worship and things like that?
Worship. I remember the story. I don't remember the event. And when I first got to Panama in second grade, I'm very I play a lot of. I love music and I love being a part of the worship service with singing and playing the violin and things like that. And I remember my parents tell me the story that the first service that we had in Panama, I cried because I couldn't understand anything. You know. And so it was, there's a certain culture shock there that takes place. But I absolutely, by the end of the 3 years, much earlier than that, I could understand everything. Mm-hmm. And being a missionary kid and being a part of the mission, you really, myself playing an instrument, I was able to contribute mm-hmm. on a level with the worship, with the music, at a level that being in an American congregation, I never did. Mm-hmm. You know, they have the organist, and he takes care of everything, right? on the field, if you play an instrument, man, they're going to make you play in church, I mean, whether you want to or not. And if you're a kid with any musical talent, you're probably going to have to learn an instrument. I'm in the Dominican Republic right now, and there's a church that we work in, and we have five guitars there at the church. So we're gonna have five kids playing the guitar every service, whether they want to or not. I make them play, and they do love it. They love it. They really appreciate it. And I work to motivate them. And so being a kid on the mission field, you're so much more a part of the service in that aspect, mm-hmm. and a part of the work too. So,
what are some other ways that you were a part of the work?
I always encourage pastors to take their kids on trips, you know, to visit congregations and that's something I did do that a fair amount, but mm-hmm. it's something you would always wish I had done more, is gone on trips to visit people and visit other congregations, especially if you have an old enough son or daughter who, you know, wouldn't be a hindrance. Mm-hmm.
Tell us about, so you were there from second to fifth grade.
Mm-hmm.
About the last year or so there, in fifth grade. By this point in time, had you learned some Spanish?
It's hard to say how much Spanish I knew. It's hard to say because I lost a lot of it. And then I worked really hard in college to regain it. And I gained it back very mm-hmm. quickly. So I probably did know quite a bit of Spanish without knowing it. Fifth grade, it's funny how I am going to be a missionary in Latin America, because as a kid, I didn't really enjoy my time that much in Panama. There were certain things that I really enjoyed, mm-hmm. but I almost had a utopic view of the United States. So when we left Panama, I was very glad. But then I always had this idea that, you know, Latin America had been such a formative part of my life, and I came to the United States and I realized it really wasn't everything that I thought it was going to be. So that's something that I've thought about a lot. And now, of course, I'm in the Dominican Republic now working, and I'm going to Mexico. So it's interesting how I certainly was happy in Panama, and I'm so glad that I was there. And being in Panama, I was happy, mm-hmm. but I definitely always wanted to be in the States. It was very interesting.
What were the things you were hoping for that you said you had this utopic view of the United States?
It's such a funny story. My sister, Anna, when she was like four or something, just really young, when we moved back to the United States, and we had gotten in the, you know, flying all night, all day, and we stay in this dumpy hotel, you know, and we wake up and there's an IHOP across the street. So we go to eat at the IHOP. Yeah, IHOP's not the best restaurant ever. So we're there and we're all just like really tired. And my sister Anna was like, "Mommy, when we get to the States, I want a Barbie doll." You know, that was like all. And we're like, "Anna, we've been in the States for like 2 days now." And she had no idea, because it was just this, you thought it was going to be this great utopia.
Mm-hmm. So, coming to the, what were some of the things that you thought you missed or that you were missing out on? That this utopia would have that you didn't think you had on your life out in the mission field?
Yeah, when we were in Panama, we had cable in English, so you would watch these shows and, you know, neighborhood friends was something. We were in a high rise, but being, you know, we lived in the States and we lived in a normal neighborhood. School was different. School was hard. I went to the States and the school wasn't much different than the school they had there. Mm-hmm. Wasn't much. It was certainly better, but it wasn't significantly better. Things like Six Flags, I guess, you know, you see these things in the movie and then how often do you go to Six Flags? You go like once a year, you know, so it's not like a part of your life here in the United States. So I think there's so many things that I could do in Panama that I obviously couldn't do in the States, like going to the beach. Mm-hmm. I always encourage families to, and my dad does too, and it's very, very good advice, to really take your vacations in the country and really, you know, take a week to be a tourist in that country. And or take, you know, go to the beach, do these fun things, and really search for things that you'll miss when you go to the United States. And my parents were very good at that, like snorkeling and things like that, things that you certainly can't do in Wisconsin. So, yeah.
At least not in the winter.
No, not in the winter. No. Well, yeah, not in the winter.
So some of the things that, you learned about the United States, having grown up primarily in the mission field, most of the things that you learned about the United States really came through media.
Yeah, and that's obviously very deceptive. We did spend, a couple weeks. I probably spent a total of over 4 years in Panama. I probably spent a total of a month in the U.S., but even still, I had you have a very flawed, you know, because we're, you know, what would we do for that week? We would go to the mall all the time, you know, or we would, you know, we'd try to do really fun things. But yeah, so it's just,
What, so when you did move back to the United States and made that adjustment to an American high school, you said it really wasn't that significantly different than the school that you were attending in Panama.
Yeah, and that,
What would you say now that you gained from your life growing up as a missionary kid?
I'm very, I love serving in the church, and I have a, I think I have a very different view of poverty than a lot of people, and especially even people who have been or lived overseas for a long time. I have a pretty high tolerance for gross things and dirt, and maybe even too high of a tolerance. I don't know. But the church always came first, and that's a lesson learned, and it's a good way to live. The church, when we were overseas, the church was first, and the family was very, very close second. And you don't want to put your family life in jeopardy. But at the same time, all through college, I was very involved in a Hispanic ministry. And when I studied abroad, I was very involved in the Lutheran church there. When I studied abroad in Chile in college. And yeah, church work just seemed like a very obvious career choice for me. So it was very positive. The whole experience was always very positive.
And where are you serving today?
Currently, I'm in the Dominican Republic. I arrived February of this year, 2015. And I was originally only going to spend a month there, but because I'm on my way to Mexico City, but I've been there for a really good long time, and it has been good. It's been emotionally difficult to, but I'm July, the end of July, I'll be going to Mexico City with a missionary team, and we'll be working there.
What will your work be in Mexico City?
Situation Mexico City is a lot. I'm working, we're not starting from scratch. We're working with a sister church. Lutheran Synod of Mexico is very large, has its own president, and we're working in two congregations. So really, I don't have a very clear job description, but with my Spanish, my musical ability, and all the really great training, on-field training that I've had in the DR for the past couple of months, I'll be the only missionary there, so I'm sure I'll be very busy.
Didn't you say you were going with the team, though?
The team will be involved in theological education.
I see.
So I'm not a pastor, so I won't be doing that.
I see.
I could. Yeah.
So you'll be learning more about the community, about the culture, and engaged in the
yeah. I mean, there's a lot
local congregation.
I do. I teach a lot of catechism classes in the Dominican Republic. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy doing that. In my Spanish, I certainly can do that. Do a lot of Bible studies. I do a lot of youth group activities. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's funny how, man, Bible, one of the big shockers for me being in the Dominican Republic, and this really goes to show you how much I didn't know, even with my background in Panama, is how incredibly lacking basic Bible knowledge is, even in a country like the Dominican Republic, which we assume Latin America to be so Roman Catholic. But basic Bible, like what's the first book of the Old Testament? Mm-hmm. I have these, it's not a catechism class because these kids are confirmed. And I asked them what the first book of the Old Testament was. They didn't know it. Mm-hmm. So it's just like we had taught them so many things. So, I mean, they knew what baptism was. They knew all these, they had all these Bible verses memorized. They could identify law and gospel. They had all this great, great stuff. But then I asked them what the first book of the Bible was, and they didn't know it. But they knew, and they knew the creation story. They mm-hmm. knew Moses, but they didn't, we had missed that one. Okay. So, because that's something that you learn when you're in like first mm-hmm. grade. If you come from a Lutheran, yeah, a Christian, you know what I mean? So, That's a lot. That's going to be a big part, even in Mexico too. Mexico, we consider that to be a very Roman Catholic country, but basic Bible knowledge is very, very surprisingly lacking. But which is great. It's a great opportunity. It's a great opportunity.
What encouragement as you're participating in new missionary orientation right now, and a lot of families with young children mm-hmm. here preparing to go out into the mission field. Do you have any words of encouragement for families who are traveling and moving with young children?
Yeah, I was just talking to a mom who's going to a country in Africa, and you know, it's really, I would never want to be a missionary in Africa, but I am so excited to be a missionary in Latin America because Latin America is so much a part of my identity and who I am, and working in the Lutheran Church in Latin America, it's just such a clear part of my identity. And I explained to her that, you know, this is going to be a part of the identity of all of their children from here on out. It's going to, Africa, Kenya is going to be a part of their identity. And if my dad were to tell them to go to Mexico, they would say absolutely no way, because it's so much this dual identity that they have of United States and Africa. Hmm. So it's very healthy. It creates, really makes you a citizen of heaven, the fact that you really don't have a close attachment to any country really keeps your eyes.
Helps you appreciate that citizenship that you have in heaven.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. What are you looking forward to most in the coming year?
I'm really looking forward to get to Mexico. I can't wait. I had been so, you know, all my support raising was all about Mexico, never about the Dominican Republic. But I'm so excited to take everything that I've learned in the Dominican Republic, mm-hmm. being able to work with so many different missionaries and learning so much from them, and taking that from Mexico, taking that to Mexico.
Well, very good. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story with us today. It's a privilege to get to share this with our listeners and talk about life as a missionary kid. And I want to say thanks for just for sharing this story and this encouragement for our future missionaries as well. Mr. Tyler McMiller, serving the Lord, well, preparing to serve the Lord in Mexico. Thanks so much for being a guest
today.
Thank
you very much. Thank you very much, Andrew.
Concordia University, Mequon, Wisconsin, overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration in action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit cuw.edu.
Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. We are talking with missionary families and missionary life for kids. And it is a privilege today, a joy. Can't wait to check in with the Fritchie family. They are serving the Lord in the Dominican Republic, and they are joining us today via Skype. Welcome, Fritchie family. So glad to have some time with you today.
Hello.
Hey. Greetings from the Dominican Republic.
Wonderful. So glad to hear your voices again. And I've enjoyed seeing pictures. And it sounds like you're back from a well-deserved a little bit of time, family time, to relax and enjoy life there in the Dominican Republic. And looking forward to sharing with our listeners. For our listeners not familiar with the Fritchie family, we had a chance to talk with them in the past year as they prepared to serve the Lord in the Dominican Republic. The Reverend Joel Fritchie and Clarion Fritchie, and the boys, we have Slav, Sergey, and Andre, and so excited to share how things are going presently in your ministry there in the Dominican Republic. Now, Pastor Fritchie, how long have you all been settled in there? I know it took a little bit to get everybody there and get settled in. How long have you been in the Dominican Republic?
We've been in the Dominican Republic since the end of February, basically. So, what, 5 months now, then? 5 months, wow.
5 months.
Oh, very good. 5 months, and so much I'm sure that you've been learning along the way. As I understand it, you were in Spanish class right before we went on the air, correct?
Right, yeah. Your first, they say, 4 months of time in country, you're supposed to be in taking intense language courses. Well, we got started a little late, and we've had a few interruptions along the way with retreats and various activities that we had to do. So our classes, our intensive classes, are still going on and probably will until the end of August. But we started, it was probably almost a month after we arrived in country, we started our classes because there was just a lot going on. And we finally got enrolled, and we're doing intensive classes at a language school, prominent, what, in Europe and in Latin America, called Academia Europea. And we've started out, Clarion and I, doing classes separately, just individually, about 9-10 hours a week each. And then we would follow that up with, you know, studies at home and practicing out and about, just being immersed in it. Then when we finished our initial 60-hour block of classes, we decided to come together and take the classes together. Clarion has a little more Spanish background than I have. So we started out at different levels, and we probably are still at a little bit different levels. She's just a tad more advanced than I am. We have different strengths, the both of us. She seems to be really able to. She has an ear for the Spanish a little more than I do. I think because she was immersed in it so long as a child growing up in Panama. I tend to maybe it's my nerdiness, but I tend to do a little better with grammar and grammatical concepts and little minute details like that. So when we're together, we do really well here. When we're separate, I struggle a little bit to still to hear and understand and kind of spit out the language. But we're in class together now, and that's going pretty well. We still have a lot to learn, but in class we practice conversation, we practice listening, we learn some new grammatical concepts. We read Spanish together. So we do all kinds of different things. And like I said, we'll probably continue till about the end of August. That's when we'll wrap up our next block of courses. And then we'll continue learning. I'm not sure yet. We don't have a plan yet for our continued learning beyond these classes. We'll do some sort of classes, maybe by Skype or something, but not as intensive, not as time consuming as the initial 4 months in country.
Clarion, how have the intensive language courses been going for you?
I really enjoyed them. I really love that we get the chance to go to the academy and just listen and speak Spanish for, it started with 3 hours at a time, and now it's gone down to 2 hours at a time. The point is really to be conversing and hearing and using the language. And it really is good because the more you speak the language and know the language, the more comfortable you're going to be in country.
Absolutely. How about you boys? Let's start with Slav. Slav, how is it going learning the language? Are you having any chances, opportunities to learn and practice Spanish?
Yeah. Kind of. I get to talk to friends out in the street and all that stuff. We've made a few friends out, talked to them. I've learned a lot from a lot of words from them.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Sergey? Are you enjoying learning Spanish?
Yes, I am.
Very good. Very good. Do you get to practice with friends?
Sergey's not afraid to talk to anybody. So he's our most adventurous child, and he really does pretty well with the Spanish. Tell him, Serge.
Usually I just talk to neighbors a lot, learn what they're saying, because I usually stay near them to hear what they're talking to each other about, and that's usually how I know a lot.
Very good. Andre, have you learned any Spanish yet?
Yeah.
Can you speak Spanish, Andre?
Yeah. Hola.
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 Very good. Good job, Andre.
Good, Andre.
Well, how
kids
is...
Kids are all really having a lot of fun. We live in a very, a neighborhood that's right in the city, heart of the city, and there's a lot of kids on our street. And so every evening, kids are outside playing, running around, and thankfully we don't have a terribly busy street in terms of traffic, so the kids do pretty well out there. So, like, last night was we had a power outage, which happens once in a while. Talk about that later. So, you know, everybody's especially outside then because it's cooler outside. And there's just a really active social experience out there. So the kids went outside. The boys were playing till after dark, just running around playing tag, this, that, and the other. And so they're getting a lot of Spanish in that setting.
Absolutely. There's a true immersion, getting to know the neighbors and learning the language in that way. That's great. Well, let's talk about making the transition from the U.S. to the Dominican Republic. I know there was a little bit of a challenge when you all were making that move and getting all the documentation ready to go. So part of you made it there and part of you had to come a little bit later, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, we had some visa issues, and part of it had to do with the type of visa I was applying for, which was a little more complicated, and not everything worked out the way we had hoped. So Clarion actually got her business visa in the mail. Hers was ready in time to depart and go to the orientation retreat that they were having for all new missionaries for our region here in the DR. So we really struggled with it because the Dominican consulate was telling me that, oh, your visa will be ready mañana, tomorrow. Well, that's a common word here, which could mean tomorrow or could mean next week. Or as we're learning even more, could mean, 2 months from now. but we really struggled with the decision because some of the missionaries encouraged us to all travel together, that it would be a lot easier and a lot easier on the family if the whole family travels together. But, you know, there are five of us. Three of whom are children, and then we have two dogs that we brought with us. And we thought, you know, maybe it would in the long run be easier if we split up and Clarion and the two dogs come ahead of us. and then we come when the visa's ready, which was probably going to be about, you know, no longer than a week later. So that's actually what ended up happening. Clarion and the dogs left. They got there in time for the retreat. The boys and I hung out in Houston, Texas with family for a few extra days. And 6 days later, you know, we were in country. So it all worked out fine. And in the long run, you know, it might have actually been easier that way. The Lord knows what he's doing.
Now, how did the dogs adjust to the culture change?
They've adjusted very well. We found a really good veterinarian here in Santo Domingo. They laze around a lot on the floor because it's hot.
Yeah, their mouths are open and their tongues are hanging out, you know.
Are they learning the language quickly?
Yes, they are.
They communicate with all the other dogs here. There's a lot of street dogs here in the Dominican Republic. So, you know, you get a lot of barking and, you know, all that kind of thing. So it's interesting, but they're doing well.
Good, good. Well, tell us about the work that you are doing, serving the Lord as a missionary in the Dominican Republic. Some of the things that I know you started with orientation retreat as you got started there. What are some of the things that you've been doing since you've been in the Dominican Republic this year?
Well, I'm serving at our congregation in the capital, Amigos de Cristo, in Las Americas, actually just outside the capital. Our congregation here, we do have a pastor, a Dominican Lutheran pastor, the only Dominican Lutheran ordained pastor that we have so far in country. So I work alongside him, Pastor Willie Gaspar. Pastor Gaspar is also a dentist, and so that's really his full-time job. And, you know, in addition to that, he's a pastor. So he was eagerly anticipating my arrival here to provide some relief for him and the congregation. So some of the things I've done with Pastor Willie so far, started out doing a number of visits just to get to know people in the congregation, to go to their houses, to speak the language, which, you know, when we first got here, my Spanish was not as good as it is now. I don't consider it, you know, superb right now by any means, but it's better. And so, you know, going around to houses was really helpful, just hearing the locals speak. So doing that, but I think one of the most important things right away was just to get immersed in the Spanish liturgy, you know, the conduct of the liturgy here. That helps a lot, with not only with the language, but just with the work I'm doing in general. So, right off the bat, after I was installed, I was leading worship on Sundays, reading the lessons, leading the liturgy, things like that, just assisting Pastor Willie with that. And then when was it? When did I preach my first sermon? It was sometime in June, like early to mid-June. So about 3 months into our time here, I told Pastor Willie, I said, hey, I'd like to give a try, you know, at preaching. And his eyes lit up. Like, you know, it was the most joyous thing he ever heard because, you know, Pastor Willie has been on his own, you know, preaching every Sunday for, gosh, this church, he was ordained in 2011, was it? Or 2013? 2013, I think. So he's had about two and a half years of just solid preaching every Sunday without much of a break. So to have somebody fill in and just even if I was doing it once a month, you know, was a relief for him to have one Sunday without having to, you know, preach. I mean, of course, he loves being a pastor and he loves preaching. But like I said, he's full time, you know, a dentist. And so he's juggling a full time career along with, you know, really what can amount to be a full time career as a pastor, too. So I started preaching in June and I told him I'd like to try it once a month. So far, I've preached twice at our congregation. But also, you know, here in the DR, we have three congregations in Santiago, and at the moment, we've only had one other pastor in country, Pastor Ted Cray, who's also our regional director. Well, he travels a lot, taking care of things around our entire region, Latin America, South America, the Caribbean. And we did have a guest pastor for a couple of months but he recently left. So there's been a couple of times I've had to go up to Santiago and assist with pastoral duties up there to the best of my ability. One really neat thing I was privileged to do, actually not too long after we arrived, Pastor Cray was out of the country, and our guest pastor hadn't arrived yet. So I went up to Palma Arriba, our congregation up there, toward the end of their school year, and they have a program every year at that time, and usually they have baptisms. So I was privileged to do 7 baptisms one evening in Palma Arriba at our congregation there. So that was really neat. And I was up there this past Sunday preaching one more time there because Pastor Cray again had to head out of town. And so it was really neat. So in a nutshell, you know, I'm preaching, mm-hmm. leading liturgy, doing some visitations to get to know the people, just watching our other missionaries, Katie Ziegler and Danelle Putman, as they work and as they do things in the congregation, listening to their Spanish, chiming in where and when I can, things like that. You had Tyler McMiller on mm-hmm. before us, and we've gotten to know Tyler really well. He's just been a tremendous blessing here in the DR as he was waiting to go to Mexico. And I learned a lot, you know, in terms of Spanish and things from Tyler. I sat into a lot of those catechism classes that he mentioned and participated with those. So that was a lot of fun, too, working with our youth and working through the catechism a little bit. It's been great. It's been really a lot of fun.
Well, very good. Thanks be to God for the ministry that he's given you there and the opportunity to learn the language so quickly so that you can deliver the Lord's word in Spanish. I have to know, how long does it take you to prepare a sermon in Spanish? Do you write it in English and then translate it to Spanish, or are you writing it directly in Spanish?
Right now my method is write it in English, you know, edit it, and then translate it into Spanish. And, you know, for like a 5-page double space type sermon, which is, you know, pretty typical, I end up spending about an hour per page translating it. So that doesn't sound too bad, but my, you know, once I translate it, it's pretty rough Spanish, you know. So actually Tyler's the one that's been my sidekick and my help, my right hand with going then back through the Spanish and smoothing it out. You know, I'm sitting there with a dictionary or maybe, you know, Google Translate, typing some things in because there's a lot of vocab I don't know. And so, I'll use a word that I find in the dictionary or that Google Translate spits out for me. And, you know, Tyler will look at it and he'll chuckle and say, you know, I don't think they're going to know that word. It's not a very common word, you know, so I have no idea of knowing that. So that's been really helpful. And with some tricky grammatical constructions, you know, Tyler will help out. So, you know, I'd say, you know, I write a sermon in English, edit it, translate it into Spanish. That takes 5, 6, 7 hours. And then Tyler goes through it. And then I spend another few hours, you know, just going back through it. Because I learn a lot from, you know, Tyler always provides notes for me on the Spanish. Here's why you should say it this way, or here's why it changed, you know, this construction. And, you know, the whole thing's just a big lesson in Spanish for me. So, you know, when it's all said and done, I've probably spent, you know, a good 12, 13 hours just tinkering with the Spanish itself and preparing to deliver it. So it's a process, but a joyous one.
Very good. Very good. Mrs. Fritchie, how has the move to the Dominican Republic gone for you? You were the first one. You and the dogs made it there first and got to attend the retreat, the orientation retreat. How has the transition gone for you and what have you been up to?
Oh, the transition has gone wonderfully. We've been very blessed by our missionary group down here and blessed by God to have settled in the Dominican Republic very well. It's interesting because you arrive at a new country with a house with nothing in it. So you think, okay, how is this going to work? And you spend hours shopping. And with three active boys, that gets to be a little tedious, but thanks be to God, with missionaries' help, we are now settled into our home. That took a while, but every day it feels more like home, and we are more comfortable here with our neighbors and the things that we've been doing. I have been blessed to actually be teaching English classes at the academy where we take our Spanish classes. There was a need for English teachers, and I'm a certified teacher, so I've been teaching some English classes. And I've also had the privilege to teach Sunday school a few times at Amigos de Cristo. But mainly my job has been helping the boys accommodate and just being a support for my family. And it's been very wonderful.
Outstanding. Well, that's exciting, getting to teach English at the academy and spending some of your first few days there trying to get everything ready for the home and find some furniture. What was it like trying to furnish a home in the Dominican Republic, trying to, you know, get everything? As I recall, before you left, basically you all sold off everything or gave away things before you left here, instead of moving all your furniture from the U.S. So what was that like, trying to find furnishings for your home in the Dominican Republic?
Okay, I'm just going to say one word, IKEA.
There's an IKEA in the Dominican Republic?
Yes, there is an IKEA here in Santo Domingo.
Huge IKEA store in Santo Domingo here.
Yeah, it really helped us because you could find reasonable pieces of furniture. And it was interesting to be able to put those together and kind of put our home together piece by piece.
Now we know what.
When we arrived in the house, I was like, oh my goodness, where do you start? And Danelle said, just slow down. She said, it's going to take some time, but you'll get there. You have to be patient and just take it a piece at a time. And so that's basically how you have to look at it, because you do arrive with just some clothes, really, and you need to furnish your house. You start with the very important things like beds.
Well, that speaks volumes to the strength of your marriage. Any marriage that can endure putting together all that furniture is a strong marriage.
Oh, wow. I'll tell you what, that's process too. But, you know, we're thankful for, like, Danelle Putnam. She was just wonderful, because she spent hours and hours getting so much ready for us in advance. And that's one of the great blessings of having a team here already in the country. Danelle, you know, got moved down to the capital from Santiago before our arrival. And even before getting things settled for herself, she was working on getting things settled for us. And she had, you know, our house picked out, had mattresses and sheets and things for us for when we got here, folding table and chairs, had the power turned on and water and, you know, all those things taken care of for us already. So that was just, that goes a long way in enabling us then to just start doing the shopping and start stocking the house and have it ready. And, you know, even 5 months into it, we're still finding things that we need to pick up here and there at the store or wherever. I mean, I think I've been to IKEA 5 times over the last 5 months. But you add, little by little, and you get where you need to be. You get the basics and all that kind of thing. And it works.
Are the boys still nearby? I'd love to talk about what they've been up to.
Yep.
All right.
Sure.
All right, Sergey, what have you been up to? Attending school since you've been in the Dominican Republic?
What?
Attending school?
What does that mean?
Going to school?
No, we are not out of school yet.
Tell him what you've been doing.
We're homeschooled, and my mom is a teacher. So she teaches us.
So you're learning at home, you're homeschooling with mom as your teacher, and have you gotten to, you mentioned earlier, you've made some friends and gotten to know people in the neighborhood. What about food? Have you been learning about food in the Dominican Republic? Have you discovered some new foods?
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the new foods that you've discovered, maybe a favorite new dish or favorite new food in the Dominican Republic?
Yeah. What do we eat all the time, Sergey?
All the time.
Yeah, what do we always pick up and eat?
We always pick up and eat pico pollo.
And what pico pollo is?
Pico pollo is a chicken. It's a Chinese place.
So you've been enjoying a lot of chicken at the there.
It's really common here. Mm-hmm. Just about on every corner, there's a pico pollo place. It's fried chicken. Most of them are run by Chinese people living here in the Dominican, but very common food. Everybody eats pico pollo. Rice, fries, tostones. What else, Sergey? What else do we eat?
What else do we eat? We also usually have food here at home. We don't usually go out to eat. Usually we go to Mega Central to get KFC or J Teriyaki.
The food court at the mall.
Uh-huh. That's a cultural experience in itself, right?
Oh, yeah.
Mostly we would get something simple like Taco Bell or Burger King.
Yeah, it was interesting. We do have Taco Bell and KFC and Burger King on this side of the city, but American fast food is more expensive here than in the States. So we don't like to do it too often. Mm-hmm. And there is McDonald's here, but it's on the other side of the city. So how long was it, Sergey, before we got to even go to a McDonald's? We had been here how long, do you think?
About 3 months.
Yeah, before we went to a McDonald's. Can you imagine?
So it's a big change, huh? Well, let's talk with Slav. What have you learned anything new, or do you have a new favorite food since you've been there?
Yeah, my new favorite food is basically pico pollo.
That's the popular one. Everybody loves it, huh?
Yep.
Pico pollo and papas fritas.
Mm-hmm. What's papas fritas?
French fries.
Ah, very good. Very good. How about you, Andre? Are you a big fan of the pico pollo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like to rip off my meat.
He likes his meat ripped off the bone.
Very good. Well, homeschooling with mom right now and planning on homeschooling more in the fall? Or what is the school year like there? Does it is it similar to the school year here?
Yes, it is. Actually, Joel and I went looking at international schools here in Santo Domingo because we would like our boys to get more involved in the city and with the kids and people who live here. They do get the chance to play with the kids in our neighborhood, but going to school is a really wonderful thing for a child. And while we were very happy that they could travel with us the past year as we were fundraising, now that we're settled in the Dominican Republic, I think they would really enjoy the opportunities that going to an international school would provide. Mm-hmm. So we have found a school called Cathedral International School, and we are enrolling the boys, and they will begin August 24th.
Very good. Very good. Boys, let's talk a little bit about Sunday mornings or attending church. Are you learning to sing hymns in Spanish? Slav, are
yes.
you?
Mm-hmm. Would you like us to sing?
Sure.
Okay, ready? Yes. 1, 2, 3.
Hasta por la mañana, tu misericordia, tu fidelidad de noche. Hasta por la mañana, tu misericordia, tu fidelidad de noche.
Tell him what it all means.
What? No, we don't.
It's good to praise you, Jehovah, celebrate your mercy and your faithfulness from morning to night.
Very good. The Fritchie Family Five singing for us on Faith and Family today. That's outstanding. I love it. I love it. Well, I want to make sure that our listeners know what we can be praying for the Fritchie family in the coming year. We've got just about a minute left. What are some of the things that we can be praying for?
Our continued learning of Spanish, that we'll be able to, continue to be immersed in it and really be able to communicate with the people, because that's ultimately why we're here, to be witnesses of the gospel in word and deed, especially in word, so that we continue to grow in our Spanish. Please pray for our congregation. You heard a little bit from Tyler about some of the things we're doing, trying to teach more biblical studies and a lot more just about the Bible in general. So pray that hearts will be open, to learn and grow. And then one of our goals for the immediate future is to really get another group started, another congregation started, and we have some inroads toward that. But we're just not quite there yet on moving in that direction. So pray that the Lord will open doors for getting another congregation started in the Capitol.
Very good. Well, thank you all for your time, for sharing your stories today. We'll share the link to your page on lcms.org/Fritchie. We'll share that on the KFUO page as well with our archive of today's program.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks so much, Fritchie family. God's blessings.
God bless you,
too,
Andy.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Coming up in just a little bit, Thy Strong Word.
Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.